हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे।
So in the Shankhya, the cause and effect. So they're accepting the same principle that we have, is that the effect, by applying it, then turn. I mean, how you say the cause and effect, then they transform. Otherwise, then the idea is that there's no transformation, that it's actually an illusion that anything's going on, because everything is all one, it's all Brahman. So there is no differentiation. So we're in an illusion thinking that it has transformed. So that would be the Vivartavad, which means it's based on illusion.
But
72. But the Parinamavad means there is transformation. It does transform, but it won't transform back. The tree can transform into a chair. The chair can't go back into a tree. Milk can go into yogurt. Yogurt won't go into milk. You understand? So it goes that one way, like that. So that will be with our philosophy. So the same thing is then accepted by Shankhya, right? That's why the Kapila Muni then, you know, he's giving Shankhya in the Bhagavatam. It's just a matter of what is your final conclusion. That's what makes the difference. Always in all these processes, it's what's your final goal that establishes what's happening, right? Of course, the method has to be authorized. You can't just use anything you want. This thing of the goal justifies the means doesn't work, because the means has to be actually a process that gets you the goal. Right? Otherwise, you'll perform some speculative process, but it will give you a result that's not necessarily what you expect. Right? That's very important to understand that. So if the ultimate, in a bona fide process, the ultimate goal is the Lord, to obtain the Lord, to please the Lord, to worship the Lord, then that process is correct. But if you accept God, you accept the bona fide process and everything like that, but your ultimate goal is not to please the Lord, right? It's material sense gratification or merging into the Brahman or like this, that's where it becomes bogus. You understand? We have to be able to distinguish between what actually is bogus and not, right? If you're peeling a potato, if you can't tell the difference between the part that's not so nice and the rest of it, what do? You either keep the bad part or throw the whole potato away, right? Neither of those is very useful, right? Because you want to eat lunch, you need the potato. But if you keep the bad part, then you're going to get sick, right? So you have to be able to distinguish the bad part and keep the good part. Does that make sense? So that's why these things are there. Otherwise, of course, the easiest safeguard is just, if it doesn't sound exactly like what's ours, don't even bother with it. So then you keep to ours. But as one is able to develop the discrimination, one has to be able to tell what is correct and what's not. Right? So we see in the three philosophies up to now that we've been discussing, that up to their conclusion, they're fine. But in the conclusion, they make a mistake. Right? And they overemphasize a particular, means in other words, you're using logic to understand something. That's great, because we'll use logic too. It's the process of Buddha Yoga. We'll use the intelligence, how to understand something, how to apply the knowledge we've gained from authority or shabda into something we can see. That's perceptible by the senses. Even the anuman has to be perceivable. It has to be based on perceivable things. Right? So then, So, Yeah, but then, but if we only use logic, because the element point is that the logic is used to see that the processes that we're using, the understandings that we're using are correct, right? That we have the correct goal, everything. But the main element is the devotion. So that gets left out of Nyaya, right? Because it's just Nyaya, beginning to end. That's all there is. And then in the Vaisheshika, in Kotama's Vaisheshika, then the atomic theory then explains how things are created and dissolve in the universe in a very, you know, simple, straightforward way. It means it's that it's simple. If it can't be reduced any further, then it's an atom. If it can be, then it's if it's an atom, it's eternal, right? While if it can be reduced, it's temporary. Right? So anything temporary is always going to be a problem. Anything eternal is going to give a better result. So you're trying to understand that everything that you're dealing with is the compilation of atoms. Therefore, it's temporary. Therefore, that's where a problem lies. So now, they leave it at that. So if you can get to the point where you don't even deal with all that, so all you're seeing is atoms and dealing with atoms, then you basically establish yourself on the Brahman platform. So therefore, you'll be happy. Right? But they don't understand that where that Brahman's coming from. They know that the soul is eternal. They know that there's God, that God's the supreme controller. He is creating and destroying at His will. And He's doing according to the karma of the living entities. He's creating the world. Right? But the problem comes is, in this whole process, there's no relationship between the jiva and God. Right? Other than God just is taking care of your needs. Same in Nyaya. Right? The soul is there, God is there, He's the controller, but it's not your establishing relationship. So this is where the weakness is. Right? Otherwise, the system of logic is flawless. It's a perfect system. You know, if you're using it to establish the Shastric evidence to understand Vaishnav Siddhanta, it's the most logical system there is. Right? And understand the atoms, it's just the perspective of how everything's there. You have the 24 elements, so then how they're combined, how they create everything. And then how they dissolve everything again. So then you can see is that how everything works. You can situate yourself on the platform of Brahman. In other words, being liberated from the material energy. But that's where then its usefulness stops. Right? Does that make sense? So, you know, the knife is only useful while you cut up the vegetable. Once it's cut up, it doesn't have any meaning anymore. Yes.
Maharaj, in the beginning of the book, Sutra Swami makes the point that these philosophies are progressive. You know, like, is it that the latter includes the former? Like Vaishnava will include Nyaya?
They work together, yeah. It means they'll include, but at the same time as they're going a little bit deeper. Like here, then in Shankhya, what they've added that's unique to it is, okay, he's got the atoms, but then within that, all he has is atoms, but he's not explaining specifically the interactions between them. Because that's not the point. The point is to understand what is eternal, what's temporary. Free yourself from the temporary, establish yourself on the eternal. Yeah, like that. So there's not as much need to see the technicality of how they're working in emotions and this and that, because emotion's not part of it. Shankhya adds in the male and female principle, because that's the dynamic. What it means, in other words, they've accepted that karma is there, and therefore things are being established. But what is the interaction of what's going on? Why is there an interest in this? They just point out that it's a problem, so you get rid of the problem by not being involved in it. Right? So by distinguishing variety and form, then that's a problem, so therefore stop distinguishing that. Just see atoms. Right, and then that's what works, right? Isn't it? I mean, the Adam family was very happy because they're seeing like that. So, you know what I'm saying? So, no matter where you are, you can be absorbed in atoms. Okay, you know what I'm saying? The most of the world, you know, starts off also with Adam, right? You know, like that. And so it's we can see that this atomic theory is quite universal, right? Okay, so Shankhya adds in the masculine and feminine principle. That brings in the dynamic. What's going on actually when it's being applied? When the universal elements are being applied, then what makes that work? What makes the karma work? What makes the action? What creates the attraction? and attachment and all these things. That is the masculine and feminine principle.
It brings in the Eve.
Yes, it brings in the Eve. Otherwise, you just have Adam in the first stages, which is okay. But now Eve comes into the picture.
Adam and Eve.
Yes, like that. So that it works. Yes, very good. See, very astute. Yeah, he's figured it out. Okay. Chankya philosophy developed elaborate explanations to argue the Parinamavada version of Satkaryavada, that a cause actually changes into its effect. These explanations are central to the whole Chankya system, which proceeds from the premise that the effect exists in the material cause, even before the effect is produced. That's what we're saying, is the primary creation already has the blueprint for the effect. Right? That's the cause. The universal form is your cause. Right? Krishna is the cause. So the cause of all causes. Because in here, then, it's a form of Krishna, but the reason Krishna is taking that form is because we are interested in the effect that comes from that. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, that's the cause. But that cause, the universal form, is Krishna, but he's the cause of that. So he's the cause of all causes. Then that cause actually changes into the effect. From that cause, from the primary creation, you actually get the manifestation of the secondary creation. Right? The actual visible forms that are, you know, the combinations of the 24 elements. We can see that. So there's a transformation like that. Does that make sense? And so when we're looking at it, what the Bhagavatam is teaching us is looking at it the other way. Because we'll take the cause there, but we don't necessarily understand that it's actually Krishna. We're taking it as ourselves because we're trying to be Krishna. So then the effect, we think, I have produced this effect, and the effect therefore is mine. So the Bhagavatam will take that process and reverse it the other way and look at the effect. So the reason that you're absorbed in an effect is because of its cause. Right? That's why you're doing it. You are absorbed in the effects of this world because of the cause that is behind it. So that cause is Krishna. So then what you're doing is you are assisting the effect in its service as manifesting the cause. Right? The cause and another manifest. So you understand what happens? So this whole element of Brahman realization turns into devotional service. Because Brahman doesn't mean there's no variety. Brahman simply means it's transcendental. So therefore you're dealing with Brahman, but on a personal level. So there's still also the masculine feminine principle. The cause is masculine, the effect is feminine. Right? And so therefore you're assisting the feminine, or the effect, in attaining the actual cause. Otherwise, you're dealing with the effect, and not actually understanding what the cause is. Like you say, okay, well, I want a nice phone. Okay, but that's the effect. The phone is the effect. But why do you want that effect? Right? Why is the phone important? Right? Because either you can do some nice work with it, the actual prestige that goes along with it, you like nice, you know, mechanical things to do a good job.
It's like allopathic medicine, always treating the symptoms.
Yes, you're just treating the symptoms. So you have to understand what is the root. Why is it it's there? So let's say it's because it does a nice job. So being able to effectively do a nice job is actually what you want. Right? That's the cause. The effect is this phone. Right? So that means then, if you're looking at it from cause to effect, that means the cause is that you want to do work, but that's what I do. So I am that good work. And therefore the effect is this cause, which is the nice phone. So therefore, because I'm the cause, the effect is mine. Right? But if you look at it from the other perspective, means this cause is in pursuance of the effect. This effect is in pursuance of the cause. Right? So that means if I deal with this phone properly so that it actually does work well, then I am attaining to the cause, which is you know, well done work. So Krishna is the well done work, then Lakshmi is the phone, so therefore I'm assisting Lakshmi in obtaining properly done work. So in other words, dealing with your phone then becomes a process of service. It's on the Brahman platform. like that. So depending on how much devotion is there and how much you see that ultimately means from the Brahman level, you see back to Paramatma, back to Bhagavan. So it can go up like this. That's why it's said that the pure devotee can see Krishna everywhere in everything. Because all there is the masculine feminine principle in this world. There isn't anything else. All there is cause and effect. Right? So the causes are unlimited, the effects are unlimited, because Krishna and his energies are unlimited. But that's all there is. You can put in these two categories, so therefore the masculine and feminine. Right? He's the cause of all causes. He's there, then the effect is there. His energies manifest, he expands. So if we put it that way, that sounds like our philosophy. And then we'll say that's philosophy. So practical, I got to go to these, you know, guys down at the, you know, that corner in the stop where it's all the shop that has all the self-help books. No, right here is that if you go try to analyze that, that means you're always dealing with this masculine and feminine principle. You understand this as everything in this world is functioning on that. You understand the principle. You understand how to work with anything. Because all the other people are doing is they've observed the material energy, but they never understand this masculine and feminine principle. So they can teach you something about the mechanics of how the material world's working, but they can never teach you actually fully how it's working, because until you come to this understanding of masculine and feminine principle, you don't understand the mechanics of the world. So if you understand this, you understand everything. So you understand second canto Bhagavatam, you understand how everything works anywhere better than any self-help guru in the world or that ever has been, is now, or will be. Right? It's that simple. That's straightforward. But one has to be able to contemplate things and take it to that platform. If you can't, then yes, you'll fall short. So then you go to these, you know, fall short gurus. You know, and they'll give you some stopgap solution that you will think you're doing something great with. But the only thing all you're doing is adding to his and his publisher's treasury. That's all. What's the word? Coffers? How do you say it?
Coffers.
Huh?
Coffers.
Coffers, yes. So their coffers are getting full. Yours is becoming depleted. You think you're getting something done. They know they've done something. So that's what's going on. Does that make sense?
What about the Chinese with their yin yang? They also...
It's the same principle. Same principle. Because you have the qi and you have the li. Like that. So qi is the energy, the manifestation. And the li is what's behind it. You understand? There's a cause why the qi would be applied. But they're not looking at the gross aspect. They're looking at the subtle aspect of the gross manifestation. But why that's there, then there's strength behind it. In other words, it's a principle of strength. Right? That's your li. Then it's applied as qi in the pillar. Then you have the pillar that's the form of that qi. So it's the same philosophy, same thing. Just they probably couldn't explain it so simply.
Well, they say that the circle is like the Tao before the yin yang, so that there's the division after the one.
The one goes into two. And then from the two, I think they get into something more, then you get into the... Into the 10,000. Yeah, then it goes into the 10,000 or something. Yeah. That just means the unlimited variety. 10,000 in Chinese means unlimited.
But I've heard that the Tao is how. So the how is the cause.
Well, the Tao is how they represent the Brahman.
That's all it is. It's the same thing. So the point is we're trying to catch here is that whatever is going on, there is no philosophy or anything that's actually outside the purview of the Vedic system. All it is they're taking it, but it's not so scientific. Some are more, some are less.
But this is all mind. Like, this also includes the mind and the false ego.
That's what Shankya deals with.
The false ego. Because, well, we can only grasp it through our mind unless we surrender to it.
That's there. But you first have to understand the principles on which it's established. You know what I'm saying? That's why these philosophies, then you can say, are in a chronological order. Because they know more or less about the whole process. Because here they're accepting the masculine and feminine principle, but the whole nature of rasa and that they're not dealing with. You understand? That will come in later. That will come in Vedanta and stuff like that.
Because I'm thinking when you relate to atoms, I can only visualize atoms as being something material.
that they are. But at the same time, as they don't distinguish between material and spiritual, because the soul is also considered an atom, because it's indivisible. So they're not making a distinction, because they don't need to. Because ultimately, their point is anything that's manifest is a problem for you. If you deal on the level of atoms, where you're not having an affection, an interest in, an affection for, a need for, the manifestations of the atoms, therefore, then you're free from the pains and pleasures of this world. You understand? So they don't have to go further than that. But the point is what they're not able to understand, why do you want to be happy? Why do you need all that? That they can't explain. Why is there such an inherent need to interact? So that means my tendency to interact, I have to stop. I keep the mind going, but I basically have to stop the interaction, which is, okay, one way to do it, but how many people are successful at Vaisheshika? Right? Even in the modern scene, where they're using a atheistic form of Vaisheshika, how many quantum physicists are there that actually can function in that and see everything according to quantum? Not that many people. There are people who study it, but people who actually think like that, that's how they see everything. Very few. So that means its reach is very, very limited. Right? The Vaisheshika, it has more of a broader reach than quantum will, because they accept the Supreme Personality. Like that. Now they accept the point of good work, proper work, karma and all that. So they're going to get farther.
Immorality.
That always comes in. That's good work. So you're always going to get that, so it'll be better. But the point is it doesn't go far enough. So Shankya can go farther.
So these darshana would not have like so much what we call, you know, for us a congregation. It would just be some monks in an ashram or some.
Basically, that's what they're for. Only with Karma Mimamsa, when we get up to there, does it get into a broader sense. But up to that time, it's individuals who are able to practice these things. Yeah, like that. Nyaya can be used by, it can be used by anybody, but the point is it's going to be very narrow. Only with Karma Mimamsa does it actually go to a very broad range. Right, yes.
In the point we're studying this before, so we can see the elements in other items.
Yes, that's the point, is we can see is whatever element anybody's dealing with, just like, you know, as soon as the Taoists have started to be discussed, that's already our philosophy. So it's not, they just use different words. They like to use poetics and all this, and keep it a little mystical otherwise. But for us, mystique is not important. For us, you know, the clear understanding is important. Mystique is in rasa. When you're dealing with the masculine and feminine principle, there's always mystique, because you don't know how it's going to interact. You know the science, but you don't know what aspect of that science is going to be manifest at any one time. But you know the science on which it will be working. You know what I'm saying? Yes.
Is that why they need mystique in these impersonal religions?
They have to create something for the mind, because these impersonal elements are always dealing with on the gyan side. So gyan leaves very little for the mind. So therefore, if you just say, you know, how you say, if you just say, everything has a form, that form has an internal potency that's working, which is actually what manifests that form, and that has an actual purpose behind it, like that, and that's what everything is, and then you can point it out. You know, like that. It means you have the column, and you have that it's performing the work of holding up the roof, and that's based on strength. You know, so the subtle thing of holding and all that is there, and that's coming from before that. You know, so it's a specific manifestation. In other words, you have the principle, it's specifically applied, and then it has therefore its specific manifestation. Right? Does that make sense? So you can therefore take the generality is the masculine, and then the specific application of that generality without form is the feminine. Or you can take that, the specific subtle application is the masculine, and the feminine is the external manifestation that we can actually perceive with the senses. So that's a science right there. That means, what does that mean though? To apply that, what do you have to do? What's the main thing that nobody likes?
Think.
You have to think, process means you have to work.
Process.
Tapasya, yes, austerity. So right there, then it loses its interest.
To think like that.
You know, but if I say, learn the form, but seek the formless.
Yeah.
You can keep yourself life, you know, busy your whole life with that one. You know what I'm saying? Because there's something in the mind, and you know, this and that, some taste and that. But that's when they say, use the form, learn the form, seek the formless. All they're saying is what we've said, but they can't say what we've said. They'll just put you in contact and talk about it and put you in mystical places. You know, that's why you do all these things standing in a waterfall or out in a mountain and stuff, because then that sensitivity, you might catch it. They can't tell you scientifically how to catch it. They can't tell you what it is. All they know is it's there. That's all. So if they put you in a thing, you practice it long enough, you cut out all the outside things where you're distracted and this and that, then it works. But all it is our philosophy. So that, you know, second canto of Bhagavatam is talking about that. Yeah, you take that out. So they're only going up to the Brahman level, but they're not even actually understanding. So the problem with Gyan is it's material, so its understanding of Brahman is actually very limited. Like that. Actual impersonalists understand everything's Brahman, and there's variety in Brahman, but it doesn't matter because it's Brahman. So you deal with the different aspects of Brahman according to their position. Right? Sukadeva Goswami knows. If you're walking, you stay on the road. You know, it means you can't walk through tree Brahman or, you know, through lake Brahman. Right? But it's all Brahman, so he makes no distinction in the way that it's not.
Interesting.
It's not. It's an absorption, but it's not specific. There's not a specific affection for it because the affection is general. But you know that you deal with tree Brahman different from road Brahman. Right, that's how he can walk around. He hasn't, you know, otherwise he would have come to Naimisharanya, you know, covered in bruises and everything like that. But he didn't. So that means he can distinguish within Brahman, but he only sees everything as Brahman. That's the difference between an impersonalist, an actual impersonalist, and the Mayavadis. Mayavadis are impersonalists, but they're not actually real impersonalists. Because they say it's all illusion, it doesn't exist. Well, the impersonalist, the Brahmavadi says it all exists, but it's Brahman. But the Mayavadi says it's all Brahman, but it doesn't exist. You know, so it's like, you know, they got problems. So the mundane platform, there's always a shortcoming because you can't actually see, it's hard to take that next step because from the Brahman platform, everything should be able to be accommodated. But in most forms of Gyan, they can't accommodate everything. They can't function on the Brahman platform and, let's say, be a grihastha. You know what I'm saying? The Brahmavadi could be, but what's the interest? You know, someone who's generally on that wouldn't be interested anyway. Because that's his goal, so why get involved? You know, like Sukadeva Goswami, he's at home. He's in the womb. He's born. You know, it's his father. He doesn't say it's not his father. He doesn't say it's not his mother. It's just a matter of there's no need for him to function on that platform of family interaction. So therefore, then he runs off. Like that. But if you ask him and invite him to come in to the assembly, he can tell what's there. He can understand where the seat is, where the people are. You know, like that. And the amazing thing is hair is not up in some big pompadour. You know, like that. So he's able to function in that way. Like that. The Ten Commandments. Does that make sense? But the point is if you are going through a process, if you're going through a process, you're not on that platform, you have to be able to, whatever platform you're at, be able to get yourself there. That means from Brahmachari Grahastha Vanaprastha Sannyas, you know, or, you know, Brahman Kshatriya Vaishya Shudra, you have to be able to connect that with Brahman, the process. So we can. They can't. Some of them do to some degree, but they can't explain the science. Or they can explain the science, they won't get involved. In other words, those who are explaining the science don't get involved in all that stuff. Those that get involved can't explain the science. They just know it exists. So that's the problem with the mundane. It always is short. But the clear Vedic principle, then it has both. It can deal with the tattva and with the rasa. And so the mundane always will fall very short of that. And then these six systems, they'll get much closer, but still they'll be short. There's a blind spot there, because all they're trying to do is get out of material energy, out of the control of material energy. That's all they're trying to do with these first two systems. So all they need to do is whatever method that they're using to get out, focus on that, and everything circles around that. So one uses logic, one uses the atomic theory. That's all, because they don't need to know more. They don't need to know why rasa works or why I'm attached. It doesn't matter. I am attached, I'm suffering. I give up attachment, I'll not suffer. That's all. It's a very simple, straightforward. So as we go, then the Shankya is able to add in these further understandings of the masculine and the feminine. Then you start getting the dynamics. But still it won't be completely covered with. Because it's also not dealing with the attachment, you know, I mean, it's not using it as a method. It'll still be, you know, something of renunciation. But we see Kapila Muni's can be used in that way, because of being theistic, he's explaining it to his mother. Right? So he has to be explaining a system that his mother could use. Right? And so therefore, that one then is, because you know, that's why it's devotional service. So all these are parts of devotional service. Right, but they're not complete in themselves. They have to be connected. Then they become useful. Does that make sense? Okay. Yeah.
When you were speaking about the sentiment of mystique that they have to do to, as a counterpart to the dryness of their system, like for example.
No. They have to create interest. It means only if there's interest, then you will act. If there's no interest, you won't act. So they have to create interest. But for us, the interest isn't the mystique about the thing. Because their whole point is you gain that understanding. You get to the formless aspect and can function with the formless. Then you've attained perfection in their minds. But for us, it's just a method. Because you get to that platform, then that's where things become serious. So to them, that's their goal. For us, that's a solid beginning. Before that, we're unstable. That's very solid, because you're liberated. So when you're liberated, then you can develop love of God very easily. Before that, you're always going to be encumbered by your conditioned nature. So that's why for us to get to that stage very quickly, we know the science and we explain it. Well, they don't, because that's the goal, so they keep it. Also, unless it's hard to work for, it doesn't mean anything, you know, and you have to do something that you know is very, how you say, you know, severe, you know, austere, you know, in the middle of winter, you know, make a blanket wet and put it around yourself, sit in the snow, and then through chi, you have to dry the blanket.
It's called chumo.
Okay. You know, stuff like that. Then you know that you've done something. Because then you've made the subtle observable. But for us, is making the subtle observable, we're only interested because it's connection to Krishna. So we're trying to see Krishna manifest in everything. So these side things aren't very interesting. That's why when devotees get sidetracked by New Age stuff and this and that, it just means their need for mystique is there. Like that. They don't understand the point is clarity, is then how you're going to come to the point of knowing Krishna. Like that. Because whatever it is Mother Jashoda is only absorbed in serving Krishna. She doesn't have any other purpose. She just wants to please Krishna, feed him and this and that. But if Krishna is getting out of hand, you know, and talking philosophies that are not there, she can very easily defeat Mayavad philosophy. Right? Mother Sachi is very easily defeating, Nimai in his, you know, he's sitting out where the dirty pots are because it's all one. But his point is you have to be able to distinguish between it's all one. You know, so she can do that. That means it's not that she doesn't know philosophy, but that's not her taste. You know, the Brajbasis, it's not that they don't know. Otherwise, why are they the ones coming and establishing, you know, why are little girls, you know, 12-year-old girls from the spiritual world coming down here and explaining the most exacting philosophy that there is, that there's no one else in history who's ever done it to that degree. And that's done by 12-year-old girls. Right? because that's their interest. They're not interested in all this stuff. You don't have to be in the pastimes. But it doesn't matter that they don't know it. It's just like, you know, for them, you know, Krishna's God, not God. That's his, you know, what he does in his spare time, what do they care? Their point is they're with him now. They are interacting with him. You know, it's not that they don't know. It's just like the gopis are complaining to Krishna when he's behaving badly, that you always are like this. You never know how to behave properly with women. Now look at what you did to Suparnika. They're telling Braja Krishna, see what you did to Suparnika. So they know he's Ramachandra. He knows he's done all this. He knows he's Vishnu and creator of the world. But who cares? To them, it's just like the high court judge at home. He's the husband of his wife. She knows he's a high court judge, but that doesn't in any way change the relationship. She doesn't deal with it because he's a high... That's what the barristers do down at the court. But she is his husband. So in the same way, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you know, all this and that, nice. But the real thing is him as a person, that's how they like to interact. So there's no need. So that's where the real mystique is how does that... The unfolding of the pastimes of Krishna's devotees, you know that is controlled by Yoga Maya. That's the mystique that's interesting. That's the mystique that keeps Krishna interested and his you know pure unalloyed devotees interested. Not this other junk. This other junk is you know how you say that's on the lowest. That's the beginning where the lowest level of devotional service you know is starting. You know, Rati, it's a bud. It's not even a flower yet. To be on the platform, you have to already understand that stuff. You know, it's like, I think it was Shamananda. It's either Shamananda I think it was Shamananda. That, he was in the morning and how they, you know, they come out and they brush their teeth, you know, how they sit on the side somewhere and all that, you know, you're going in park around and all the people are there brushing their teeth as you go by, you know, so whatever. He's brushing his teeth, he's sitting on top of a wall. You know, I guess on his, where he was in that, there's kind of a wall there, so maybe inside's higher or something, but he's on the edge of the wall brushing his teeth with a neem twig. And then suddenly this other devotee comes running up and starts telling him, it says, hey, come, you have to come see this. That there's this yogi in the marketplace, and he's got a branch, you know, a dead branch, and he's sitting on it and flying around the marketplace like that. You have to come see this. You know, it's amazing. It's spectacular. It's like, forget it. You know. And he keeps going on and on and on and pressing, no, you have to come and see and all this. So after a long time of this, I think probably when he finished brushing his teeth, he took that twig that he's brushing his teeth with, you know, put it underneath him, you know, flew around a bit, came back to the wall, put it back in his mouth and started brushing his teeth. It's kind of like, who cares? They're saying mystic powers, who cares about them? So that's the thing, is the karma, the jnana, the yoga, nobody cares because what you have is so much greater. You know? Does that make sense? Yeah.
Just thinking when you're saying about that analogy of the high court judge, that she was married to him before he went to law school too. So she knows him as a person first and then he became a judge. The same way the prisoners of Raj, they have that relationship and then Krishna can expand.
Yeah, you could say that, but at the same time, but that's tattva. But in their case, it's simultaneous because it's eternal. So it doesn't matter. So he's performing these other pastimes and other expansions, but they know it's him. But they're only really interested in that form in Vrindavan. It's not that they don't accept the others they can't interact with, that they can't see the connection. Because they're saying, see, here's the example that you don't deal properly with women because how you dealt with Suparnika. So it's all the activities of one person. But of these activities, then his activities in Braj, that's the nicest. But it's not that they don't know all this stuff. The point is, as they were saying, is the Vaishnavas know all these things, but that doesn't become the prominent element in their life. Right? Because the process is serving and pleasing Krishna. Not analyzing things or getting good results or economic development or none of these things. So dharma, artha, kama, moksha are not their drives or their interests. It's not that they don't deal with them. They deal with them better than anybody else. But at the same time, their goal is bhakti, is to please Krishna. That's the thing, is if you have bhakti, it includes everything else. And we think it includes means you don't bother with them. No, it means that all the other parts are included. If you have cooking, it also includes cutting sabji, washing pots, going to the market. But if you only know how to go to the market, doesn't mean you know how to cook. But a good cook knows how to go to do shopping. So we have to be careful we don't make the mistake that only cooking, we only accept the cooking part. You know, cutting sabji, washing pots, going to the market, we don't accept. That's all bogus. Unnecessary, because everything's contained in the cooking. You understand? That's the simplistic mistake that's being made. So it's all contained. That means whatever you're doing, it's seen in the context of bhakti. And then there's more direct and less direct. So that's the point of the Chaturshloki. You have to see Krishna up to the point where the direct and indirect, at all times, all places, all circumstances, you're seeing. Right? Like that. And he says that all time, all space. Because that's a Krishna, it's all space, it's everything. It's not that, okay, here's America, and it's somehow or another different in space and doesn't fit into everything else, despite what the Americans say. Don't say this to an American, they would get upset. So, but it's, no, it's still within this God space. Like that. So therefore we'll take the good quality of it that they say, in God we trust. So starting from there, you trust in God, then things will work. You don't trust in God, nothing will work.
Trust also means finances.
Trust, yeah, would mean finances and stuff like that. But the point is, see, trust comes because you see, means if you perform an activity, right, you have a field of activity, which is things, right? You perform an activity with those things. What does it generate? Yeah, more things, right? So then those things come back into your field of activities, right? You understand? So the point is now when you see you are feeling secure in the relationship means that you are secure because you see that work is, understanding of the field is there, work is being done, results are gained, and therefore your field of activities is increasing. And that field of activities is your options for interaction, for relationship. So the more you're comfortable with your surroundings, then the greater the trust. Do you understand the science of how that's working? You understand? Why is that trust? You know what I'm saying? It's because it creates security. Trust is based on security. Security comes because when the goal has come, it comes back. It doesn't go off somewhere else. The goal goes off somewhere else. Then there's a lack of trust. The husband has worked so hard, got something, and then it's his and it has nothing to do with the wife. Then there's trust issues. Because they feel insecure. That means you're doing things that are outside of the relationship. You know, and then he'll say, but I got to do something for myself. But then the thing is that means then yourself is more important than her. Right? Because the relationship is you and her. And so therefore, if that's not satisfying enough, you need something separate from that. That means that that link is not coming from Aniruddha. It's not going back to Prajumna. Therefore, it's not the cause of further inspiration to do activities.
It's also synonymous with dependency.
Dependence is there, but that's the point, is that the Prayojana is dependent upon the Sambandha to actually exist. Unless you have an attraction to working with the field, it doesn't come to the point of attachment. So attachment is your Prayojana. From that, there'll be work. And then that work, the result will be in Prayojana. But then from there, it goes back into Sambandha. So that result then is the cause of the relationship, is the connection of the relationship. So dependency is shown by how you deal with results. That you're acting and getting, because if you're not acting, means you don't have attachment. Right? If you act, means there's attachment, there's a need. And so if that acting is within the realm of the relationship, that means the results will be part of the relationship. And then that will be the next step for further. Right? The guy worked hard, got a house. So that's his goal. But once he's attained it, then it goes back and now it's part of the Sambandha, it's part of his field of activities. So now it becomes the basis for the further activities. Now it goes back, now there's an inspiration about this desire how to use the house. Then you use the house in that way, that will generate something more. You know, social interaction or, you know, children in the house or furnitures or things like that. Then that will create more things, reason to further. You understand? So that's why the thing is based on what's visible. But it's what the experience of it, what's important. Because operating physically observable things creates experiences, and the experience is what you're looking for. But that's the thing, that's the subtle aspect. Yeah, but the gross aspect is then what we look at. So we think it's, you know, well, you wanted the house, yeah, but the thing, what do you want the house for? For interaction. So if you get the house and you don't interact, what's the meaning? In a sense, it's a very subtle science, so it can explain anything. That's the point. We can explain exacting philosophy. We can explain why husbands and wife either live peacefully together or not, with the same philosophy. The same understanding can tell you exactly why what he just said was wrong. He'll say, no, 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 it's this or that, or, you know. But it's based on the same science. It's based on the masculine and feminine principle. If you don't understand it, you don't know how to deal with material energy. If you're successful, it means you do in the area you do. The guy's a great businessman, makes millions and billions of dollars, but his family life is terrible. Why? Because he only has understood these principles in relationship to business. He doesn't understand the universal principles. He thinks they're only principles of business. If he understands the universal principles, then he can apply them anywhere.
Could you identify the same cycle, how the house prayogana becomes sambandha, but with the chaturvyuha? How does it work when we see it as four?
It means you have a field of activities that's the science of the field. The interest to work within the field, that's prajumna. Right? The field itself is sankarshan. The interest to work in the field, the attraction to it is prajumna. Prajumna is Cupid. He's attraction, right? That's Madan Mohan. Right, then you will then you will act within that field, that's Vasudev, and then you'll get a result, that's Aniruddha. Right? But once you get the result as Aniruddha, that goes back and then becomes part of Prajumna. It becomes the further inspiration. But the science of how to work with it, Sankarshan, stays the same. It doesn't matter if you have one thing or a million things. The principle of Sankarshan remains the same. Now, it's just a matter of if you have one thing, you have one thing to be excited about. If you have 10 things, you have 10 things to be excited about. Right? So the feminine nature represents variety. So that means that is their field, is variety. So that means if there's only one thing, they won't be that satisfied. But if there's 10 things, they'll be more satisfied. Because there's more option for variety. Understand? It's a science.
So, of these four viewers, which one are, you know, part of Sambandha?
Sankarshana and Prajumna are Sambandha. Vasudeva is Abhideya and Aniruddha is Prayojana. Because when it works, from Sankarshan, you understand the field, you study the field, then you become inspired to work in that field, then it moves to Prajumna. Then you become attached to the results that you can get from working with that field, that becomes Aniruddha. Then you'll do actually the work, which is Vasudeva.
Sankarshan, does it just mean the field? Does it actually mean the science of the field?
It's both.
It's both.
You can't separate the two. What are the laws governing the field of activity? What is that field and what are its laws? What are the relationships? How do you define the relationships? But it's science there. But Prajumna means there's actually the mind has become interested.
But that is also a sign how the mind becomes interested in something.
Yes, by contemplation.
And so that science...
All four of them are science. It's just a matter of what is the emphasis. Just like within Brahman... it's all one, but there's distinctions. So in the same way, it's all science. So in all four stages, it's all science how it's working. All four stages, there's an observable aspect. And in all four stages, there is a experiential aspect.
How is it that sometime something wonderful will be there, but there won't be attraction? Just like Krishna consciousness is wonderful.
It's wonderful because one is not, doesn't understand the field. One's not contemplating the field. By contemplation, there's attraction. By further contemplation, there's develops attachment.
Like Shankarshan becoming prophet, spreading
knowledge. Who's first? Right. Shankarshan. Who expands from Shankarshan? And then who expands from him?
Vasudev.
No. Aniruddha.
Or the goal, then the activity. So it's like the mind.
Thinking, feeling, willing.
Okay.
It always goes from Sambandha Prayojana back to Abhideya. Then you're going to do the activity that will actually get you. In other words, there's the interest, there's the need to have it, but you don't have it. So you have to perform the activity. And by performing the activity, you'll get it. So it'll go Sambandha, touch on Prayojana, then it'll come to Abhideya, then you perform the Abhideya, you'll actually get the Prayojana. Then the Prayojana will move back to Prajumna. And then the next activity starts.
Can you explain it again at that time with an example?
We've been explaining examples for the last 20 minutes. The guy sees, okay, family life, I have to, you know, like this. And so within the family life, okay, then to have, you know, have family life properly, so he understands the needs, he's responsible, he has to protect. To do that, so that's Sankarshan. He needs a house. Right? So, you need a house. So he's inspired, therefore, to get the house. It's Prajumna. Then that attachment is there. He needs the house, so he goes out, works very hard, gets the money, and then he buys the house. He goes through the process getting the money, buying the house. Then he has the house. Now it's turned into Aniruddha. Right? Performing, getting the house, arranging the house, signing all the papers, all this, that's your Vasudev. He gets gets the house. That's Prayojana. Now, the house is not a goal anymore. Now it's part of his field of activities. But not just field of activities, meaning just the science, it's part of the field, meaning that this is the inspiration for further relationship. So that's why it goes back to Prajumna, not to Sankarshan. Okay, so then we'll end here.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Okay, hopefully one day we'll get past this. See, what I've been doing is I'm simply giving a summary of what's there before so that we can actually read. But the problem is, I mean, it happened like I was noticing is that we were dealing with the, we do the same thing we're dealing with Chaturvyuha. You know, like that, sometimes days would go by and this and that. But now, you can just mention it and it just happens. It goes very quickly. So that's the whole idea is that within the Bhakti Shastri course, that all these things become so familiar and understandable that when you get to the Bhakti Vaibhav, then on the Bhagavatam platform, then, you know, you read through things and very major points. You only need like 5 minutes to discuss them because you already understand how it works. So that way you can get through 6 cantos in 3 years. But we're only getting through Bhagavad Gita and a few books in 3 years.
But you weren't even there yet, Mark. We're trying to get through that.
Well, this is another class. That's why this is here, because it makes it analytical. Otherwise, we're only studying Gita. We may not bring these things out so well. It's just a matter of, in one sense, you could say the Saddarsha, because Prabhupada said that someone who initiates would be Bhaktivedanta. And then he also says one who sits on the Vyasasan then would know the 6 systems. So technically it's up on that level. But the point is then we won't be able to discuss the Bhagavatam at a very developed level unless some of these things are understood. So this is a very basic study of these philosophies. But even then it's so technical. But this is just a basic study because that's all the more we need. Like that, because we're not actually trying to know so much about it, like that. Because from all this, the main thing we'll use probably of all these 6 systems is actually Nyaya, just a system of logic. We don't need the philosophy. You know, because nyaya combined with philosophy, that's called anvikshiti. So that's your standard study of the how you say the mimamsa is through anvikshiti. Right? Mimamsa means your process of interpretation of the verses. Right? You get a verse. How do you interpret it? Like that. So there's six schools on how to interpret that. So we follow Vedanta. Right? So that's our that's the hermeneutics we use. It's Vedantic hermeneutics. We don't use these other. They'll all be contained within Vedanta. Because it's the end of Vedas. That means anything derived from the Vedas will be contained in its conclusion. Like that. But to do that, then there must be logic, because we want to use logic, not sentiment. The sentiment will be cultivated in relationship to the devotional process, but not at the exclusion of understanding the philosophy. Because if that happens, then the tendency will be sentimental, and we can become deviated and not get very far. So that's Buddhi Yoga, means that combination, where there's a proper balance between the processes of the mind and the processes of intelligence, and they're both combined to be used for serving the Supreme Lord. So it's called Buddhi Yoga. In other words, you have Karma Yoga, you have Jnana Yoga, but when the two are combined, that's Buddhi Yoga. Because most people use one or the other. Right? So someone who's attached to work and being practical, that's Karma Yoga. Someone who's attached to Jnana and knowledge and study and this and that, that's Jnana Yoga. Generally, you'll see the two of them never have anything to do with each other. But Buddhi Yoga, what's being recommended, is both are used. So therefore, that knowledge is applied practically, which you don't see anywhere. No one talks about Buddhi Yoga. There's no philosophy outside of us that talks Buddhi Yoga. Like that. They may use the term, but they don't actually understand. The Mayavadis may talk about it, but they're not practicing it. They're practicing Jnana Yoga, and they're recommending Karma Yoga, because they think bhakti is karma. But they can't see it's the combination of them. That's what actually gets you the transcendental platform. Right? Jnana will get you out of the material world, but how do you affect it? It's only through work you get results. So they do no work. They have the knowledge, but do no work. How you get liberated? Because liberation means it's a result of an action. Right? The karmis are working without knowledge, so they're doing work, but the work without knowledge is not getting a transcendental result. You understand? So neither of them can get you out of this material world. No matter how much they talk, they won't work. So when you perform activities in knowledge, then you free yourself from material contamination. Right? Because then the jnana actually is applied. So it needs karma. You understand? This is the process that we're using. So you have to be able to distinguish what is useful karma, what's not, what's useful jnana, what's not. Therefore, the technical analysis of the philosophy. Otherwise, we'll keep things that aren't useful, and we'll be talking some philosophy other than our own.
Is it true for devotee also that unknowingly many devotees are actually practicing karma yoga?
Are these books here? Are these books here for karma yoga? Is fine to perform.
I mean, they're not in that complete bhakti because of, you know, be more into karma.
The
yoga
point is, we're conditioned. So, what does that mean? That condition means you work according to karma jnana. Without training, then only will start working properly, balancing the two. You know. So you have those who are intellectuals, they do nothing. You know what I'm saying? They read their books, they sit around, and that's what they do.
Armchair philosophers.
Yeah. You know? And then you have those who are practical, go out there, get it done, and this and that. The people who are lazy aren't even counted. Laziness doesn't even fit anywhere into the equation. So those who are dynamically, in other words, your gross materialist has a better chance to go back to Godhead than a lazy man. Because if that gross materialist is taught Krishna consciousness, he will act, he'll work, he's motivated, he'll do something to get a result.
I always heard different from devotee.
That's because they're lazy. Srila Prabhupada, they don't understand. The guy's already working. So all you have to do is change his consciousness. Because they're taking the work is actually what's getting, what's making things happen. They don't understand cause and effect.
You heard this before about it's better to have intelligent, lazy man than active, ignorant.
That's there because knowledge is higher than illusion.
Right.
But what is laziness? What mode? It's just another form of ignorance.
Yeah.
But it's ignorance mixed with goodness. So you do that and get him to be active. But if he doesn't become active, he'll still not get anywhere. You know, so it's not that when we find exceptions it throws out the rule. Just because cow dung is pure doesn't mean the stool's impure. The impurity of stool is not, we don't bother with. That's our Western conditioning. Right? Or let's not say Western, the mundane conditioning is that if I found an exception, then I can write off the rule. No, every rule has an exception. That's made by God. Not that, oh, I'm so clever, I figured out the exception. No, that's already there. God created that exception. Now the point is how do you deal with unless you have faith and understand the rule, how are you actually going to understand how to deal with the exception? Right, the standard spellings of words, if you know that, then you can understand exceptions. But if you take only the exceptions and throw out the standard forms, will you ever learn to spell? Never. So that's the problem, is we think because we found the exception, we're so intelligent, now we don't have to follow the rule. So that's ignorance. And what's the purpose of it? I don't have to follow it, which means laziness. So it's a mode of ignorance. No, smart means I understand the rules, I understand the exception. That person is able to apply the philosophy into their life. And a person who doesn't know that won't be able to apply it.
Material nature and transcendence.
Yeah. Material nature, yes. Side by side. Because who has created material nature? God. So therefore, and they work on, it's a reflection. So when you're looking in the mirror and shaving, do you have to worry that, you know, if the reflection in the mirror actually looks like your face? No. So do we have to worry that the material world isn't based on the principles of the spiritual world, as far as mechanics goes? The mechanistic functioning of the spiritual world and the material world is exactly the same. The difference is there, but people are God conscious and see all that mechanics in relationship to Krishna. And the mechanics are, to lesser and more degrees, important. But in the material world, the people think the mechanics are stand on their own and without Krishna. They think it's separate from Krishna. That's the only difference. You know, it's a mirror image. That's why we can relate the two to each other. Otherwise, how do you relate it? You know, we say here, father, this, that, and we talk about parampara. Krishna's the original father. How? Because it's one system. It's not two systems. It's two kinds of consciousness. Working in the spiritual and material world is one creation. But the consciousness is different than the spiritual world, the material world. So if you want to go to the spiritual world, you have to change the consciousness. We're not trying to change the method. That's why the person who has goals, is oriented, has knowledge, works very hard, and he thinks the material energy is going to get him something, has a better chance of dynamically going back to Godhead than a lazy man who doesn't. Means the lazy man may see that, well, it's not worth working, and why should I work so hard? So in that way, his detachment will make him, he may join first. But having joined, then when you get that materialist to join, that materialist will very quickly move up and do something special for Krishna. Because he knows you have to work. You want a result. I want to go back to Godhead. It means I got to work. While the other person thinks, simply my not being interested in the material world, that's my qualification to go back to Godhead. No.
Because he was working hard even without a good reason. Now you're giving a good reason.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Of course.
You're working hard.
Yeah. Very good. So the principle is that you're trying to means you're taking what is useful. So the one that his detachment is useful, but his laziness, that's going to be a problem. So he's material lazy, but he's spiritually inclined. The other one is materially lazy and spiritually not inclined. So now, each one is hard, but if you change that person's purview, he's already active. Right? The other person's not active. You have to get him to become active. So if he becomes active, that's great. But if he doesn't...
How do we get him to become active?
Yeah, he has to understand the process. Without work, nothing gets done. That's why when you first join, you wash pots, not sit around and contemplate the Sutra.
What book would you recommend on Prabhupada's for that specifically?
Gita.
Because Gita is all, what is it? Arjuna is working. Then he thinks spiritual means no work. That's his dilemma. Okay, I'm going to go out there and fight because I want the results. I want to kill Duryodhana and we want to be emperors. Then, but the problem comes is that then he's told that he's a fool because he's not taking spiritual consideration. Then he takes up, he hears about spiritual, then he says, great, now I'll go to the forest and do no work. And Arjuna says, no, you're going to fight. And so he can't understand, well, how can I fight, which is a mundane activity, and taking in the spiritual, because it's actually one process. Material is Krishna's energy, so therefore you're falling Varanashram. You are falling without understanding God for yourself. Now follow it, understanding God, and so it becomes part of the process.
Okay.